Hi, George.
Hey, who's there?
It's Christy.
Hey, Christy. Great to have you here. Glad you could join us.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while.
I know. So I'm excited to reinvigorate our
yeah.
call.
I've been in a cave for the last 3 months, and I've just been coming out of the cave too. So
yes, it sounded like it from your email. So.
Yeah.
Good. Well, we're going to talk today about the distinction between persistence and insistence.
So we're talking about the difference between persistence and.
Oh, I think we might have lost her, or she muted out. Anyhow, and we're going to talk about how super consciousness plays into that.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Sounds good. If we get her back.
Yeah, well, I don't know if she, maybe she was coming in through the webcast, and let me just check where she was. I don't know. She might have lost her connection. I bet she was coming in through the web, but I bet she'll dial back in.
Okay.
Kate, are you there? Are you muted out?
Are you talking to me, Kate?
I am. You, Kate.
Oh, got it. I had the phone down. I'm out and about. I'm walking past kind of a loud truck. So,
okay.
Yeah, I just muted myself.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Yeah, the system I'm using today tells me who's on the phone and who's on the web.
Oh, got
That's
it.
Why I was
okay.
Asking. Yeah.
Cool.
That's nice.
Well,
George, I was on the web and got kicked off.
That's what I thought.
It.
Yeah, I figured that happened.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Glad to have you back.
Thank you.
Good. Okay, so let's dive right in. And so the persistence is a lot of us commonly know what persistence is. And persistence is simply sticking to it, staying on track, and even if you get knocked off the track, getting back on the track. And there's a distinction between that and insistence. Insistence is has a flavor of being stubborn, but it frequently gets collapsed with being persistent. There are people who, in their thinking and in their beliefs, believe and think that they are on the right path, that their methodology is the right approach, and that it will ultimately succeed if only this or that, then it
okay.
would succeed for them.
So it's forcing.
It is. People with those type who insist are in general forceful. And even if we're not forceful people, we can attempt to force an outcome.
Yeah, so persistence is being open to new ideas and sticking with an open-minded, bigger viewpoint, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Persistence is keeping the bigger picture, the higher purpose in mind, being unattached to the particular pathway that one takes. Whereas an insistent person or an insistent company believes that their pathway is the right way and the only way.
Okay. So I guess you could say, in a way, insistence would be, we're going to continue to do it the way we've always done it.
Yes.
And persistence is, wow, what else is in my scope? What else are other possibilities? I'm going to persist in this, but I'm open to changing and doing things differently.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Some of you on the call may remember A&T grocery stores. The parent company was the Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company.
No.
Right.
Anybody familiar with that company? Well, when I was a kid, I remember hanging out outside the A&P, which was a bike ride away from our home. And I wondered I think it was last year, I wondered, like, whatever happened to them? Just kind of reminiscing and being curious. And I came across a story about them, because they used to be one of the giants back in the 1970s. And what had happened is when the model of grocery stores started changing to a true supermarket format where you had supermarkets, grocery stores that were selling food and flowers and toys and clothing, A&P experimented with that model, as did other stores like Kroger. And A&P met with initial success, but it wasn't consistent with their previous model of success. So the leadership put a kibosh on this new structural format, and they went back to their original model, while other grocery store chains met the needs of the existing marketplace and delivered what the marketplace was asking for. Ultimately, A&P went down the tubes. And today they are a small, tiny fraction of what they used to be, because they insisted that their model of doing business was the way it ought to be done forever.
Yeah, under super consciousness, that works real well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was really other than conscious. It was probably unconscious or subconscious of saying, you know, this is the right way, this is the right way.
Or forcing.
Forcing.
Yeah.
And when I was in, especially in general surgery, but to a great extent in plastic surgery training, the surgeons training me and some of the other people were insistent that this is the way it was done. I remember one time asking, why are we doing it this way? Because there's this other approach. And the answer was, son, this is the way it's done. Now shut up.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly. So the question then becomes, where are we persistent and where are we insistent? And I know from the profile system that I use that measures the quality and focus of someone's thinking and how they translate that focus and quality of thinking into behaviors, my system actually can determine whether someone is insistent in their quality of thinking. And those people tend to be stubborn and difficult to coach. Not all the time, but they can be difficult to work with.
They're not open-minded?
No. I know this is the right way. I know I'm banging my head against a steel door, but one of these days my head's going to break through. So what the question then becomes, what is the solution or what's the pathway to get off the insistent trap and get onto the more powerful persistence track from a trap to a track.
For me, the word receptive comes up.
How do you get to being receptive?
You get to being receptive when you see, you can actually see things aren't working.
Mm-hmm.
If you're actually looking at, you know, the old models maybe aren't working. Something's not flowing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay, well, I'm just not being receptive to new ideas. Well, let me be receptive, and it changes the whole ball game.
It can and does. And what would keep someone from being receptive?
Thinking that they're right.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I know everything.
Yes.
This is the way it's been done.
Yep.
So very traditional can get in the way.
I think also fear of failure.
Fear of failure.
Oh, good one.
And fear of?
Success.
Success.
And risk.
And risk. And discomfort.
Yeah, pain.
Yeah.
It's going to be painful. I don't want to do it.
I'm going to have to work hard.
It's so funny. If you're open and you're receptive, it's not work at all. It just flows.
Yeah.
It's only when we block it.
So we know why we block it, because there's a threat. The reptilian part of our brain puts us on alert and says, danger, danger, danger. What I'm interested in finding out, though, is how do we get from this trap onto a more powerful track? Like in the real world.
In the real, I think collaboration, like being honest and saying, "Hey, this isn't working." You know, like in my, for my situation here, mm-hmm. my salespeople said, you know, I'm getting a lot of, people are asking for these materials that we got rid of 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I need to be receptive to this. It doesn't, why, we're not even in plastering anymore. What the heck? But let's look. And so if they hadn't been honest about it and they said, oh, we just don't sell that.
Mm-hmm.
But they were like, we should take responsibility. We should look into this. We shouldn't let any door go unopened and look. And so they were great and they said, you know, I didn't really want to bring this up. You got rid of this material 5 years ago. But like, oh, we better look into it. We found out that all these people have lost their credit and they can't stock this material anymore. And we have good credit.
Uh-huh.
And so now we stock this material.
I see. Okay.
I opened up all these new credit accounts, which I didn't want to do, but did it anyways. And like, why not? If that's what my customer wants, I guess that's what I'm providing.
Right.
I'm back into plastering.
So if you had been insistent, you wouldn't have seen this opportunity. You wouldn't have been open to it. You wouldn't have.
If I would have been insistent, I said, no, we got rid of that material 5 years ago.
That's
what
right.
are you talking about? Why would I ever want to do that?
Yeah.
That would have been what, oh, that was my father's era. You know, I'm a steel contractor. I can't go into plastering.
Yeah.
Oh, so yes, I can.
So energetically, how does one make this transition?
But see, that's where that collaboration comes back into teamwork, the salesman bringing it to me, not being afraid of me, not, you know, like I'm going to cut their head off, like
mm-hmm.
how, you know, telling me what to do. Like, no, go ahead, tell me what to do. I
yeah.
need help too. So being humble.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. It's possible to subscribe to the mass hypnosis and to collaborate with people who are asleep, and that
okay.
will not get you off out of the trap.
Yeah, it seems to me that part of the, in order to avoid the blockages when we see a threat and tend to not be receptive to new possibilities
mm-hmm.
and opportunities is that I think one of the things, at least I look at what I'm trying to do, and it's also that, you know, you really have to have a very, very clear idea, a sense of what it is that you can deliver for somebody that is going to be useful. And so it means doing a whole lot of things, a lot of research to find out who this target is and what their interests are, how they tie in with what it is that you're trying to provide for them. And so to make yourself more, and what you're, the service you're providing, more receptive to the person you're trying to sell it to, you need to know the person you're trying to sell it to and then be very clear on how you want to deliver it.
Yeah, and I assert there's an initial step before that. See, I think there's an internal step that needs to happen. There has to be a shift in awareness.
Yeah.
Internally.
Yeah, you're saying like instead of listening to the group consciousness,
mm-hmm.
which is lower than your own personal could be, so you have to listen within.
Yes. Because,
yeah.
yeah, the group consciousness could be either higher or lower, but you don't necessarily know.
No. But you would more likely have a better bet listening to your own higher self.
If you're tuned into it.
Yeah. So how do you, then the question is, how do you get tuned into it?
Exactly. That's what inspired this conversation.
Right. I get it. You're like, okay, so you tune in and you're like, well, who's talking? Is it my ego or is it my higher self?
That's it.
And which one's for the greater good? So I say if it's narcissistic, it's pretty much ego.
Absolutely. Ego is part and parcel with being insistent.
Yeah. And if it's for the higher self, then you can see it's much more, it does a lot of people a lot of good, not just you. It's a win-win situation.
Absolutely, but to see the ego can fool us to say, well, this is a win-win as well.
Oh,
if,
yeah.
If my way is right, then more people will win. It's a rationalization.
Oh, yeah, we're all good at that.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. So,
or we could just not believe anything that our ego tells us.
Well, it's
and say everything in our life is a projection.
That's right. But our egos, I mean, it serves a useful purpose.
Of course. It gives us motivation.
It gives us something to laugh at, actually.
That too.
So I have some suggestions, and there is a way to tap into the superconscious. And the way to actually do this is, here's the interesting news, it takes practice. You can't take a pill. You can't have surgery to make this happen, as far as I know. It does take practice to quiet the mind, to allow yourself to tune in to your intuitive sense. Personally, I find it challenging because my mind wants to race. I want to be in motion. And it takes practice to actually be self-aware at a level where the quality of your brain waves, the quality of your brain activity allows you to sense a higher level of consciousness. Typically, this type of consciousness that I'm speaking of occurs when one is falling asleep and occurs when one is awakening. But it can also be self-induced.
Well, I understand what you're talking about. That's what I've spent the last 3 months in. So it's tapping into that.
Yeah.
And then now it's time to come back out into the world and bring it into the world.
Make it practical, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time to practice now.
Exactly.
It's time to put it out. I feel like I've been in a cave for 3 months. Literally. It's like I've been in winter.
There are a couple. I said, go ahead.
I said, she has been in winter.
Yeah.
Hibernating.
Well,
winter in Southern California doesn't mean anything.
There are a couple resources that I can suggest as a source of where to practice. And one is, there. If you look on Amazon and you type in the keywords awaken super consciousness, you'll find a couple of listings. One will be a book called Awaken to Superconsciousness, How to Use Meditation for Inner Peace, Intuitive Guidance, and Greater Awareness by Swami Kriyananda. He also goes by J. Donald Walters. And Swami Kriyananda founded the Ananda spiritual communities, of which we're affiliated over here because our kids go to the Living Wisdom School, which is an extension of the Ananda spiritual community.
Well, I need one of those down here.
I think you do. Wait, is Glendale near? You're not near the Bay Area.
No, we.
You're in South, yeah, Southern. No, so you don't.
No, we have the Ananda Ashrama.
But you don't have a school.
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so who's it? I'm on Amazon.
Okay, type in Awaken Superconsciousness.
Oh, Awaken, okay.
Yeah. And then there's a book, and then there's also a music CD that you can either download by MP3, and it's called Meditations to Awaken Superconsciousness.
Oh, I got it.
So this is one resource as part of a practice of tapping into your intuitive side. The other resource is something that I learned from my yoga master years ago. And some of you who have worked with me are familiar with this, but it's a broadcasting technique that he taught me, which is to broadcast my highest intentions for my life. So by way of background, my yoga master, Dr. G, used to be a World War II fighter pilot ace. And he studied to become a yoga master. His master found him during the war, tracked him down in Europe. And Dr. G, after the war, moved to the United States. He's originally from Poland. And he's now nearly 100 years old. He, at the age of 93, he had open heart surgery. I think he had triple vessel bypass surgery. And he had his surgery done without general anesthesia, which is even more remarkable. So he taught me how to broadcast. He taught me that in the military uses a certain wavelength to communicate with their submarines. If you use the right wavelength, the radio wave is not stopped by the water. And one particular band of the wavelength is an alpha wave, which is high amplitude, low frequency, so it's not stopped by material objects. And the interesting thing is that we produce alpha waves through our brains, and the alpha waves are in highest concentration when we are either in a meditative state or falling asleep or waking up. So he taught me how to put myself in an altered state of consciousness. And I can vary the depth of that altered state of consciousness. And then I can actually broadcast and bring great clarity to myself. And this is another way to tap into a higher level of consciousness, a super consciousness. So I'm going to show you the actual technique, and it does take practice. It's a simple technique, and it takes practice. So what you do, and you can do this sitting down or lying down. My challenge is when I do it lying down, I tend to fall asleep. So if I can't fall asleep, I use this technique. But what you do is you sit or lie down, relax, and you start taking deep breaths. So these are belly breaths. And belly breaths, you're like letting your stomach pooch out like you're pregnant. And that allows your diaphragm to move downward and your lungs to expand to greatest capacity. And what you're going to do is you're going to start breathing. So you're going to breathe in through your nose to a count of four, and then exhale through your mouth to a count of four. So this is, we're going to do something called square breathing. You're going to inhale to a count of four and hold it to a count of four, then exhale through your mouth to a count of four and hold it without taking another breath to a count of four. Then you're going to do another cycle of that. Inhale through your nose to a count of four, hold it without exhaling to a count of four, exhale through your mouth to a count of four, and then hold it without taking a breath in to a count of four. You're going to do that sequence four times, three to four times, but four would be fine. If you get lightheaded before you've completed four cycles of this, then start breathing normally. Typically, after the fourth cycle, you'll notice that you're in an altered state of consciousness. It may or may not be super deep, but it'll be different than what you started with. if you want to go deeper, you simply repeat the cycle. For our purposes, you don't have to go super deep. So I'll repeat the cycle again. It's inhale through your nose to a count of four. It's like this. Inhale, two, three, four. Hold, two, three, four. Exhale through your mouth, two, three, four. Hold, two, three, four. Inhale through the nose, two, three, four. Hold, two, three, four. Exhale through your mouth, two, three, four, and hold, two, three, four. And you can repeat that cycle two more times, then I'll tell you what to do after the fourth time. What I want you to do is play a mental video in full Technicolor of you experiencing things that you enjoy, things that bring you joy, things that make you happy. They can be activities. They can be playing music, listening to music, spending time with friends, bike riding, reading, writing, singing, walking around, playing sports, taking care of people, customers, clients, patients, and visualize what it feels like, what it sounds like, what it looks like to have those experiences. Play that in your mental video. Project it at a spot between your forehead, between your eyebrows. Keep playing that video. It doesn't have to be a particular sequence. You don't have to. You could repeat it if you want. It can be just whatever comes to mind, whatever comes into the screen. If you notice that you get distracted or that it's difficult to stay focused, then you can repeat that square breathing again to bring your focus back, to deepen your state of consciousness. When you sense that you've run the mental video to its completion, then just simply open your eyes and reacclimate yourself. Dr. G taught me years ago that for fastest results, practice is twice a day. This technique can be used to tap into your intuitive side. It can be used to attract the people, places, and things that are important to you and potentially critical to accomplishing whatever is next for you. This technique can be used for attracting a mate, attracting clients, attracting business, attracting events, attracting resources, physical and otherwise. In my experience and observation, the most difficult part of this broadcasting approach, which I've just taught you, is that it is deceptively simple. And so it's very easy to not do it, because it may seem like it's so simple it could never work. And frequently, our egos want to make things more complicated and complex, thinking we need to learn something new, or we need to understand and suffer and work hard and sweat to have earned something. But the intuitive side does not work that way. The intuitive side is non-mechanical. How does this apply to insistence versus persistence?
Yeah, you can insist. Oh, now you're going to go into super consciousness mind.
That's right.
Isn't it about more about like letting go and, you know, surrendering to it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And see, in this approach, you are letting go.
Yeah.
Because you're altering your consciousness so that the reptilian part of your brain has a more difficult time interfering. By the way, don't do this while driving.
Oh, come on.
Unless you're Neo from the Matrix.
So I can see where it would take the fear away as well, because you are putting your mind in, you're entering a state of mind that really sees all things as possible in a way, because you are focusing on what it is that brings the greatest feeling of satisfaction or whatever. And it does change the way, I presume, that you look at challenges.
Yeah, absolutely it does. It changes the way you look at it, and it changes the options that you come up with in terms of how you might approach it.
Well, you end up in infinite possibilities.
Mm-hmm. It also shifts the available resources and your access to those resources. But see, most of us aren't taught how to deal with this, how to practice this. And moving forward, the challenge moving forward is to actually integrate this into one's daily life, even though it only takes about 3 to 5 minutes to do. But it's not part of one's typical routine or habit in general.
So now if you're coaching somebody and they're resistant to this,
yeah,
then you know you've got a big problem.
That's right.
Is that
a
big clue? It's like, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even relax for 5 minutes.
That's right. Yeah, so then if that happens, then I say, okay, give me 1 minute. Do it for 1 minute. See, it doesn't take that long, yet it is super powerful. But again, that's just habit. Most people are in the habit of not tapping into their super consciousness. Most people are in the habit of not listening to their intuition.
So this would be good to teach like employees even.
Oh, absolutely.
Never even thought about it. We've been practicing this for years, and I've never thought about teaching employees the same things. So thank you.
You're holding back something there.
I never even thought about it. I'm like, yeah, well, it's kind of like, it was kind of like one of those, it was so simple. Doesn't everybody know?
Right.
I get it. So, I mean, I could just have a whole safety meeting on this.
Yep. It will shift the awareness, for sure.
Yeah, that's neat.
That could be why you got onto this call.
Yeah.
To get that insight and realize, hey, you know, I had to bring this to the whole crew.
Yeah, if you can teach us, we can teach others.
That's right.
I just never even thought about it.
Yeah. So that's our lesson for the day.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
That was good. You know, and I practice meditation every day, and I've never thought about it in that respect. And, yeah, it is, in a way, it is really reprogramming the brain to look at whatever, challenges, possibilities,
yeah.
Other situations in a completely different light.
That's right. This is how we change the world.
It's a little bit like, are you familiar with the therapy EMDR?
I've heard of it, yes.
Yeah, yeah. The approach is a little bit like that.
Uh-huh. Yep, that's what it takes. And so that's why, you know, I'm encouraging everybody and cautioning everybody, it takes practice. Because we are not in the habit necessarily of quieting and stilling our minds. So whatever approach you take, whether it's some other technique or some other meditative practice, getting the book and CD, Awaken to Superconsciousness, or simply practicing what I taught you, which costs nothing. Oh, by the way, there are no side effects to this.
You mean maybe peace of mind?
That's right. Yeah, that would be the side effect.
I think a lot of people would like that right now.
Yeah.
Gosh, if we all taught 10 people, can you imagine what might happen?
Yeah, my goodness. If all 10 people continued to practice it and more people practiced it, yeah, we'd have a revolution.
Nice.
So, George, in terms of your instructions for this, again, just to repeat. So you do the breathing about 4 cycles of
That's right.
the breathing. And then after that you do the visualization.
That's right.
And you spend how much time on the visualization, the same amount of time?
Well, you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes. You can go as long as you want, but typically I do it for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Unless I'm using this to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I use it too for sleep.
Okay, well, this was really very interesting, and certainly something that I will use every day.
Very good. Excellent. And you can report to us on your results.
Right.
Yeah, can I ask a quick question? You all mentioned EMDR. Why what's the similarity?
Oh, the similarity is just in terms of the approach. I forget exactly what EMDR stands for, but the first part is eye movement. And so it's are you familiar at all with it? It's a technique for dealing with, primarily with dealing with traumatic issues in one's life. And it is part of the technique is to use some system, whether it be a mechanical strobe light that flashes on and off, lights that are flickering on and off, which the eye then follows, and that is intended to simulate rapid eye movement. And so when you're in the rapid eye movement mode, it then allows, as George said, it gets you out of your ego and into your intuitive mind. And it's part of a more complicated process, but a very interesting one in terms for especially dealing with people who are suffering from post-traumatic issues and that kind of thing. But that's what it's called.
EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing.
There you go. Thank you.
I'm not sure if anyone really understands why it works, but basically you're changing your neuronal pathways. And there are different ways to change the neuronal pathways.
So it's similar to neuro-linguistic programming in that regard?
Well, maybe, except you're not using words in EMDR, as far as I understand. I mean, I've never gone through it, but I'm...
Yeah, you are using some words.
Are you using words? Okay.
Approaches, but it really is reprogramming the brain to
mm-hmm.
see things. I'll tell you, I had an experience with it, and I was going through a traumatic experience and had realized, and I was visiting my friend who was a psychologist, and I was telling her about this, and she said, well, I think we ought to try EMDR on you. So we actually traded services, and it was fascinating because what I discovered was that it was a fear of abandonment that I had my whole life and wasn't aware of it. And then with a crisis, it all came up, and it was, yeah. And so it was, she used a strobe light, but it was also, then it was visualizing a little bit like what we just did now in this exercise, but it was acting as an observer of your life. So you're sitting in a theater and only observing a film of your life, let's say, while you follow these strobe lights, and then there are words like adjectives that are interjected periodically, and you just let your mind go wherever it wants to take you, and it's quite fascinating because the mind, at least in my experience, took me to frames of a movie of the reality of my life, and suddenly there I was in a frame, and it was just, you know, it was as if it had just happened that moment, and I wasn't even aware that I even had stored it in my brain, and there it was. And so my mind would just visit various parts of my life that supported that whole fear of abandonment. And by the end of the session, I was completely cured, and I've never had any sensation or any fear of abandonment ever again. So it was very interesting.
Sounds like it was very effective for you.
For me, it really worked. And this therapist took about 3 hours, and she said that for about 98% of her patients, they just need one session and they're cured, unless it's a really, really deep-seated traumatic, you know, a lot of post-traumatic stress. In some cases where it started at a very early time in life, it may be more more imprinted in the brain and would take more. But, yeah.
Well, fabulous.
Well, thanks. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
I realize it's a little bit of a detour, George, but somebody had recommended it for me, and so I was interested that it came up here.
Yeah. Yeah, you might want to check it out. There's all different... pathways to altering consciousness. And I think the important thing is to find something that works and use it. And if it stops working, you may have to mix it up.
Right.
But,
if you'd like the name of the therapist I work with, I'd be happy to give it to you.
Oh, she's in a different state.
Yeah,
I
have somebody here who's been recommended to me who I think is probably fairly reliable.
Yeah. Good luck.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for contributing to the interesting conversation. And we'll reconvene next week. And I may have a guest speaker for us next week. So it'll be a surprise.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Great.
We love surprises, George.
I know. I do, too.
All right. Bye, George.
Okay. Take care, all. Bye.
Thanks, George. Take care. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.